a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the day.
Being good neighbors.
Omar, Hannah.
Yes, Mommy.
Could you help me with something?
Sure.
Please give these fruits to our neighbors.
Neighbors?
Our neighbors are Ustaz Musa and also the Johnsons, because they live really near to us.
Oh. Let us be good neighbors, let us be polite. Neighbors who I love, neighbors who I like. Neighbors in the back, neighbors in the front. We're neighbors, everyone. Assalamu alaikum, Ustaz Musa.
Wa alaikum wassalam, what's going on?
Mommy sent us here with some food for you.
That's very nice of you. Come on, let's go.
Where?
Let us visit Mr. Johnson where he stays.
Is he okay?
Mr. Johnson isn't feeling well today.
Oh, no. Let us hurry than the staff. Yes, we will go right away.
A few more moments, if I may.
What
boy? I would like to bring a little food to cheer him up.
We should be kind to our neighbors and be kind to everybody in the world.
Let us be good neighbors, let us be polite. Neighbors to our left, neighbors to our right.
Neighbors in the back, neighbors in the front. We're neighbors, everyone.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're welcome to Everyday Muslim live on WFM 91.7. I'm sure you, I know you felt somehow when you heard that song and you're wondering what's going on here. Anyways, it's about the topic. We're going to be talking about compassion and community, the Islamic ethics of neighborliness. And who better to school us about good neighborliness, if not our kids, because it's the way we raise them now that will determine how they grow up. So they learn that, you know, you have to be nice and kind to your neighbors, you have to look out for them. And who is a neighbor is the one right next to you. And in any case, we do have a guest who will tell us more about this, what Islam says about neighborliness, the place of our neighbors in our lives. Ustaz Aldo Haruna, popularly known as Abu Imran, he is a lecturer, faculty of pharmacy, Kaduna State University. He's also a serial author and public speaker. He's a husband and father of two daughters. He's the one that's going to walk us through what it means to be a good neighbor, the Islamic ethics of neighborliness. Ustaz, assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope you can hear me loud.
Yes, loud and clear, crystal clear, alhamdulillah. How are you? How's the family?
Alhamdulillah, it's nice to be on your show again.
Alhamdulillah, it's a pleasure to have you here. I'm just going to dive right into it. For those of you that are wondering what we played, when I played you something from Omar and Hannah, it's a series for the kiddies. You want an alternative lesson for them. You might want to try out Omar and Hannah. So this one is about teaching them good neighborliness. Anyways, Ustaz, let's begin by explaining what neighborliness means in the context of Islamic teachings.
Now, when we say somebody is neighborly, it's like when we say somebody is friendly. To understand being friendly, you must understand what a friend really means. So, neighborliness is someone who it's good, it's interesting to live close to the person. So, Islamically, when we say a neighbor, there are about three or four different definitions given to a neighbor as far as Islam is concerned. And each of them have evidences backing them, well, whether right or wrong or correct or otherwise. So the first description of a neighbor is someone who lives at least 40 houses around you, 40 houses, to your left, right, front, and back. So anybody who lives within this range is considered your neighbor, according to some scholars. While the hadith which those who support this definition rely on, it's not so sound. So I don't subscribe to this definition.
Okay.
The other definition of a neighbor is based on the custom of the people, whereby whoever lives close to you or around you, whose action influences your actions and your actions influence his action, is considered your neighbor. So the few houses that surround you are all considered your neighbors. Then there are those who will say, whoever you pray with in the same mosque is also your neighbor. And then lastly, there are those who say, those with whom you live in the same community are all your neighbors. So in either way, your neighbor is somebody whose life affects yours and yours. And your life also affect the person's life.
Right.
And then there are rules and guidelines on how to deal with neighbors, which we are going to see, inshallah.
Right, alhamdulillah. Thanks for setting that note. And as you spoke, I smiled. You know why I smiled? I think growing up, the popular hadith we all heard of is the 40 houses. But then when you said someone that plays in the same masjid with you, that even throws me off guard, subhanAllah. So for example, if I live in Berger, for example, and somebody comes from lower to come and pray, hello, so I'm responsible for that person, and so on and so forth. Alhamdulillah, khair, inshallah. So how does the Quran hadith emphasize the importance of being good to our neighbors?
Jibreel used to advise him about the neighbors until to a point that I thought that the neighbor is going to be allowed to inherit from his neighbor. You know, in Islam, there are specific inheritors when a person dies. The son has a share, the father has a share, the mother has a share. So there was someone saying, Angel Jibreel used to advise him consistently about the neighbor. Until to a point he was wondering whether maybe the neighbor is going to inherit from his neighbor due to how close they are. Allah says in the Quran, وَعَبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَبِنِ السَّبِيلِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ. Allah was admonishing us in that verse. In the first instance, to worship Allah and not associate partners with Allah. And then to be dutiful and good to our parents, then Allah listed certain people to also be good and dutiful to. What the Qurba, those that are close to us, our kids and kin, our relatives. Wal Yatama, the orphans, wal Masakin, and the poor. Wal Jari the Qurba, and then the neighbors that are close. Wal Jari Junubi, and the neighbors that are by the side. And the scholars distinguish between the two neighbors mentioned in this verse. Some say, Jari bin Qurba are those neighbors that are Muslims, and Jari bin Junubi are those neighbors that are non-Muslims. Either way, all of them, you are enjoined by that verse to be good and dutiful to them. And in another hadith, Rasulullah said, Wallahi la yu'minu, Wallahi la yu'minu, Wallahi la yu'minu, الذي لا يؤمن جاره بوائقه, that he has not believed. Allah also said this three times. That person whose neighbor is not safe from his wicked ways. You're so bad that your neighbor feels insecure about your presence, then you're not believed. Whether you pray, you fast, but your neighbor feels insecure about your presence, then you're not a good believer. So these are some verses and hadith that talk about the importance of neighbor in Islam.
Right, alhamdulillah. So I like the how we're graduating into this discussion. How can individuals incorporate the principles of neighborliness into their daily lives? And while you answer that, I'd like you to elaborate a bit more. When you said you have to be dutiful, what kind of duties are we talking about here? I mean, to what extent? When do you cross the boundaries? When do you know when to stop? How far can they actually, because of when you mentioned Angel Jibreel was relating to Nabi Sallam and he was talking about being good to the neighbor, you know, to what extent? What do we do? What do we owe them? What rights do they have upon us?
Now, first things first, we must understand that you can't give what you don't have. So to be a good neighbor, you have to be a good person.
Sure.
So you have to first of all watch yourself and imagine how others enjoy the interaction with you. That's also something that you had said. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, he should honor his neighbor. You should treat your neighbor with honor. So in a sense that you treat them the way in which you are treated. You know, most times we give excuses for our actions, but we judge that of others. So you can't give up without having a sense that you have to be a reformed person to be a neighborly person. So first and foremost, you have to be a patient person, because you're going to live with neighbors that not see things from your own perspective. You don't expect them to just fall in line and do things the way you want. You have to be patient. You have to be not be petty. Don't be a petty person. I've lived with petty neighbors before, and I know how crazy it can be living with petty people, where I think they're looking out for when they make a mistake and then they will react to it. So you don't be petty, especially if you notice certain behavior you don't like in certain neighbors. Then you try not to incorporate them in your own life. You stay away from it. And then be very accommodating. Interaction with humans in general requires you to be an accommodating person. If you can't accommodate people, then it will be difficult to live with them in peace and harmony. And then you should be someone who is selfless. Don't always expect from people. Be the first to give. Be the first to extend the hand of goodwill. Be the first to show kindness. Don't go around looking for people to be nice to you. First of all, try to initiate being nice to them. And if you follow some of those rules, you're likely going to end up being a good neighbor. So what was the last question you asked? You said I should elaborate on something.
Yeah, so when you spoke about the relationship, when Jibril alayhi salam talked about being good to the neighbors and he emphasized it, and I wonder what kind of attitude or what kind of things are we supposed to do in terms of relating with the neighbor? What kind of rights do they have over us, to be precise?
So the scholars usually divide the neighbors into three. They say if you have a neighbor who is a Muslim and your relative, then he has like almost three different rights from you. The right of kinship, which you must visit him and you must not cut the ties of kinship with him. The right of being a Muslim, which there are rights like if you have to visit him often, if he says to sleep, you respond to it. And then the right of a neighbor. And the right of a neighbor is that one, you don't do anything that would directly harm him.
Mm.
Whether it's erecting something, whether you're playing something. I've seen instances where someone says the neighbor plays music in a very loud tone. And in his own retaliation, he plays the Quran in a very loud tone. You don't retaliate in such a manner. That is wrong. You can talk to him, but you don't get back at. You don't use the Quran to get back at people.
Right.
So your actions should not in any way, directly or indirectly, harm your neighbor. And also your neighbor should feel safe. If you're aware of him being in distress, you should offer. You should not even wait for him to request for assistance from you. You should easily offer it. There's something people don't get about the neighbor. The neighbor is the closest you are of a relative, or the closest you have of a relative. If there's an emergency, before you reach out to your mom or dad or anybody, your neighbor is the first point of call before any other person. So it's very important to have good neighbors and to be in good terms with your neighbors. Now,
well, alhamdulillah. And you know, when you said when you're in an emergency situation, subhanAllah, that is so on point. Not even when you're there. What if you're not even home and, you know, alhamdulillah, your house is set ablaze and who's going to come to your rescue? Not even you. You're not even there to rescue. If you had a good relationship with your neighbors, they would help you quench that fire before you even get there, before they even call out to you. So alhamdulillah, it's absolutely important. But then, subhanAllah, the reality, what are some community initiatives that you think can promote the ethics of good neighborliness? And I say this on the back of where we are now. We're so distanced from each other. Growing up, every parent on the street was a co-parent. Everyone co-parented each child. But now, things have gone south, if you allow me use that word. What do you think are some initiatives that we can come up with and hopefully promote the ethics of good neighborliness?
Yeah. You know, what we call civilization, because we believe we're becoming more civilized, is actually westernization.
Right.
In the sense that we're imbibing Western cultures while we're abandoning our culture. The African culture is a communal lifestyle where we live in a setting where everybody is a brother's keeper.
Right.
You live in a community whereby I know the affairs of my neighbor, and not everything, but at least what is apparent of it, and then we come to each other's aid. However, the Western culture is me, myself, and I culture, where it's just me and my family. I mean, let me give you an instance. I moved into a new house some 3 years ago, and I am not used to a communal life.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when I came to this place, I spent the first 3 months not knowing who my next neighbor is, because everybody is in a detailed apartment, and
right.
you don't even know who your neighbor is for the first 3 months. And when it was time for Eid, the normal culture is when you slaughter the ram, you distribute the meat to neighbors.
Right.
But this time around, I had to take the meat to our family house, because I had nobody to give meat to. Everyone is just on his own. So it's unfortunate that we are moving towards the direction. One way is to bring back our African culture, where you know your neighbor. I still do this. I had to reach out to some people, go to their house and visit them and introduce myself and say, okay, I'm the new neighbor, the new person in this community. And yeah, I made some friends and it helped me a lot eventually.
Indeed.
So we should bring back that traditional lifestyle where we live in a communal setting. And like you said, I grew up seeing every neighbor in the community as my own father. You can correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm always conscious of my action that anybody can correct me from anywhere. So let's bring back that traditional lifestyle whereby we are our neighbor's keeper, we are concerned about the efforts of our neighbors. And this whole westernization whereby I'm only concerned about myself and my house really is not in our own best interest.
So I'm glad you put yourself on the spot. I was going to put you on the spot, but thank you for helping me out. So you said when you moved into your community, it took you 3 months and you didn't even know. Why did you allow it to take so long? What would it hurt if you had gone knocking on doors? Worst case, they'll say you probably press the bell and they'll answer you or something. So how do we crack that code? What can we do differently? And I'll say, so there was something that popped up some time ago, someone going to a new neighborhood, she realized that there were mostly grown-ups around there, but she came with a baby, and you know babies, and they are pretty, their time to talk is in the midnight, right? That's when they communicate, and this is a very dead silent environment, and it's only her child's voice you'll hear in the night. And so she took the initiative to share some gift boxes, baskets to their neighbors and dropped a note, a card sort of saying, you know, we have a new neighbor here and this is what you'll be experiencing, do bear with, or something like that, just to break the ice sort of. But, you know, in your opinion, how do you think that can play out? And I say this also using Evans as an example. How did he live in a community for so many years, being a kidnapper in a high-brow area, and nobody could have, nobody picked that up? You know, his house was literally a dungeon. He kept and, you know, incarcerated people and neighbors didn't know. And also the case that happened in one of the southwestern states where a bomb went off in a household or something. Yeah, so this is all about this. I think it's critical that we get creative about returning to being good neighbors at the end of the day. How do we practically do things better using these two instances that I've cited? I mean, how did he operate for 3 years in the community and not a single person could have raised an eyebrow about his movement or something like that? What do you think we work on?
First things first, I was born and brought up in Abuja, so I kind of strike a balance. I am a neighborly person. I love to have neighbors. So whenever I move into a new area, one of the very first things I do is to reach out to the neighbors.
Mm.
So I did that. And when I said there was a particular neighbor I didn't get to know who was there for 3 months, it was because the person was really available. You know the way your life can be sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Where
you don't even know when the gate is open and when they close the gate.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear, sir.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I knew for those that were to my left, I think, and those directly in front of me, but a particular one to my right, I couldn't. I made efforts.
Okay.
But you know also, while trying to make friends with your neighbor, there's a fine line between being nosy and trying to introduce yourself or trying to meet the person.
Yeah.
So you make some effort, and if it's not even resolved, then you also have to learn to mind your business. So there's a limit to it, to how far you can go. So I think I've already explained that what's happening in many urban settings, especially in high-brow areas and the likes. It's an individualistic lifestyle where everybody minds their business and people don't really peep into what's going on in the other person's life. There are places that if you're new in the neighborhood, you have to be introduced to the community. You have done this before. You have to tell them who you are, where you work, and some details about you. And I think things like this would create a kind of security in that community. You know who is who and things like that. But when you live in areas where it's just you and yourself and nobody cares about what goes on there, then it's easy for criminals to live in your midst and you would never know. In this same neighborhood I'm talking about, where everybody seems to mind their business, we had an issue with theft that was recurrent, and we were forced to form a neighborhood watch.
Right.
Yeah, so sometimes circumstances will push you to do the right thing. So it was during the meeting that I now got to meet many people that I never knew were even living in that vicinity. So you don't wait for things like that to happen before you do the right thing. You should be more proactive. It's very important for people living in a place to not be individualistic. Nobody's an island. You need people. We need ourselves. So we should imbibe the spirit of neighborliness. Yeah.
I agree with you, absolutely. You know, I have a smile and also some sort of a grin on my face. I just wish my neighbors in my estate tuned in and listened to this show today. So I live in a gated community, and subhanAllah, it's GRE. And there are, rules and regulations, and there's an organization, the CDA, and it's meant for you to come out at least once a month and meet your co-neighbors and all of that. But believe it or not, people would rather shun the gathering where you get to exchange ideas on how to grow the community. And then to what end? But then they are the most vocal when there's a security breach or when there's an issue. But you don't even come to get the updates on how the security apparatus is being run. You're ignoring all of that. But then you want some miracles. I just pray that people become more responsible, towards their neighbors at the end of the day. I'd like us to spend a bit more time on, so we've identified as a problem, let's get a bit more creative. What kind of initiatives do you think we can come up with to surmount the challenges? Because it is a challenge. I mean, we had a kidnapper live in a mist for 3 years. We have bombers. We have all sorts going on. How creative can we get? And not just us now as adults. How do we also carry the children along? Because at the end of the day, we are handing over the baton to them, right? So how do we, what kind of initiatives should we be coming up with, irrespective and in spite of the challenges that those initiatives will also face? But at least let's put it out there. Let's get to work.
Yeah, I think some of these initiatives are already on the ground. The biggest problem is the reluctance of people to respond to them. One of those things is where you have meetings. I know most communities, especially estates, they have, I think, maybe once a month or thereabouts, they meet and then they discuss issues that concern the community. But in many instances, just like you rightly said, many people don't turn out for it. Even during the election of escrows and the likes, people, I've seen something about Abuja life. There's a lot of fake in it who want to become rich and raise themselves to standards that they haven't reached. So they want to present this aura that I don't need people, I'm self-sufficient and the likes. So I'm what you call effizy. So too much effizy is it's a problem here. So when you call for meetings, people don't show up. So how do you get to know who is your neighbor? So these are avenues we can use. And then we can also have events where people come and then you think of what is the name they call it. Each house comes with something, like a food or like a picnic for the community members, so you don't bring food and people eat. We did this when I was much younger. We used to have it in the community. Everybody brings their food. But the problem with this is it can be turned into a show of competition. This person bought better food, this person bought this and that, so or if I don't have much to show, someone bought a certain chicken and they feed inferior. Now, when you have these kinds of mindset, it affects communal life, where there's hierarchies and rankings, and I think I'm better than my neighbor, or my neighbor is... There's not things like this. It affects neighborhood because it builds envy and jealousy. So we need to do away with this and be very open-minded. Then when we used to do this as a very young teenager, it doesn't matter what you bring. What matters is you brought food. There's this thing about food. The food I'm used to eating in my house, if I get to eat someone else's food, it doesn't matter whether it's more than it's not. It will be sweeter than mine, right?
Are you sure?
So, yeah, you can have, you can have things like this, where like a get together for the community members, and then when you don't see someone else open, you don't ask, why haven't I seen someone else open? Oh, he's sick, and then you go and visit him. Why neighborliness is very important to me is I've had some experiences that really informed my notion about a neighbor. There was a time I was very sick. It was late in the night, I think around 8 p.m., and my wife was unsure of what to do, whether to leave me and go look for how she would get a drug. I didn't have a car then, so she wasn't sure what to do, whether to leave. I was really, really sick, so I had to call a neighbor. Drove out that time to look for an injection, which he brought to my wife, and then she administered it to me. Imagine if I didn't have such.
Good.
And I also traveled a lot, and I have benefited a lot from good neighbors, and it makes me want to be that kind of a neighbor to another person. So those are some initiatives, like I mentioned before. Weekly meetings, having get-togethers, and then we must go back to the traditional lifestyle where everybody is seen as a part of the parent for the child.
Sure.
But the kind of parenting we have today is such that I am the only one that can parent my child. I mean, you're scared to even correct someone else's child because you don't know what kind of parent they have, how they're going to react to it. We have to change that so that the children can grow up seeing the next door neighbor as an uncle, not just a stranger that they have to be careful about. We don't even want our kids, although I understand that it's something you have to also balance. It's more like these days, when I was 4 years or 5 years, you can send me to even a kilometer and I'll come back safe.
Sure.
But today you can't do that.
So you have pairs of eyes actually following you.
Yes. So it's something when you want to do, take a step, you also have to be realistic about it, looking at the prevailing realities of the world we live in today.
Yeah.
But we can't leave it to Westernization or civilization, then we have to find a way to bring that into our lifestyle.
Yes, I want us to go on a break, but before we go on the break, I wanted to share a few more personal stories with us, if you don't mind, on how you've benefited from the impact of good neighborliness. Or maybe I should give you time to think about it. Can I share more than one story? Because at the end of the day, I think stories go far. It helps to share live experiences. They would remember the stories that you shared today and would understand better the impact of good neighborliness. So let's take a break. I need to catch my breath. You do the same and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hold my head. just a smile on the new building playgrounds. Oh no, how could we ignore heartbreaking crying sounds? And we're still going on like nobody really cares. And we just stop feeling all the pain because like it's a daily basic affair. Now we share the same bright sun, same wrong moon. Why don't we share the same love? Tell me why not? Life is short and then what's that for? Hold my hand, there are many ways to the right.
You're welcome back. If you're just joining us, Ease Everyday Muslim live on WFM 91.7. And Maher Zain has a question for you. We share the same round sun, the same round moon. Why don't we share the same love? Why? Life is so short, believe it or not. Why are we being so uptight with each other? We are one big family. We are all brothers and sisters, all from one source. Adam and Eve is our forefather, all of us, irrespective of your color, your race, your culture, ethnicity, name it, whatever it is, we're all from the same source. So I think the earlier we recognize that common spot, the better is for us. And that's what we're talking about, the ethics of good neighborliness. We're looking at it from the Islamic perspective, because at the end of the day, is Everyday Muslim, hoping that when we reach out to one Muslim brother or sister out there and he's able to review himself, review his ways with his neighbors, he changes his ways, becomes a better neighbor, we can then cascade that around and a lot more people get safer and we have safer communities. And, you know, it spirals and it goes across. But so that's our prayer. We do pray that we can reach out to you, we can get through to you through this program, and things can get better. I do still have with me a lecturer, Ustaz, the one who's walking us through what it means to be a good neighbor. He is a well-traveled and serial author, so he is exposed to a lot of communities and people from time to time. Who better to walk us through being a good neighbor other than Abu Imran? I still have you with me, right, Abu Imran? Alhamdulillah. So Abu Imran is joining us virtually, but alhamdulillah, the network is pretty clean this morning. Alhamdulillah for grace. The lines are open. You can be a part of the show. 07000-917-917 is the number to call. 07000-917-917. If you are of my gender, the, you know, female gender, we have a dedicated line for you. It's 0800-1235-917 0800-1235-917, females only, please. And of course you can send SMS or WhatsApp to 0703-175-6537. We'll happily read out all of your messages. Abu Imran, so just share with us personal stories that would resonate with our audience, and hopefully we can start to act better.
You know, when you ask me to think about the personal stories I would love to share, I thought of many, but I wondered, I don't like being very public with my personal life, so which will I share that would be safe to share? So I think one or two. I'm someone who travels a lot, and even when I got married, nearly the first years of my marriage, I had to travel a lot and leave my wife in the house for days on end, and I would not be there at the mercy of neighbors. So if anybody appreciates the importance of neighborliness, I think I am the person, because I benefited in a great way from it. Those days I used to feel more secure, because I think I had some good neighbors there, and I wasn't relying on my parents or my brothers or siblings to keep them safe. I felt safe because I was surrounded by good people who I know I can leave, and if they have a problem, they can always reach out to them. So that's one. And then let me use this opportunity to mention this. We talk about neighborliness. It's not always an easy ride in the park. Sometimes you are tried with difficult neighbors, and you have to look for ways to cope with them. I remember this particular neighbor we had And she was just different from others. Even if you greet her or extend any greeting towards her, she doesn't reply.
Mm.
So I am not a very petty person, so I really noticed things like this until my wife brought it up, and like this neighbor we had, she rarely responds to greetings and the likes. Some persons would have said, oh, okay, let her be, but I choose to initiate it. I met her and greeted and told her, sorry, I noticed that when we greet you or something, you rarely respond. I hope all is well. Have we done something to offend you or something? And surprisingly, she apologized and said she, most times she was thinking of something, and she mentioned something, whether it's true or not, whether it's the real reason. All I know is from that day onwards, things became better. The relationship became better with her. So sometimes, we just assume people's actions and interpret it in our own way, but it shouldn't always be like that. Dealing with difficult neighbors can be really trying. I've seen people who left a house that was very okay simply because the neighbors they had were just not good. So it can be really trying to live with difficult neighbors. Yeah.
Okay, and because this is an Islamic show, because it's Everyday Muslim, I would like us to draw inferences from the Quran. And just off the top of my head, I'm thinking of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the case we know about the woman, if you can share that with us. The woman that used to put harm way in his pathway, you know, if you can share that story with us.
Yeah, well, we were talking about neighbors, so I didn't forget to mention that there's a popular story of the woman who used to put harm on her, although I haven't checked the veracity of that story, so I'm not so certain of it, but she used to, it was said that she used to put harm in the Rasul's way as a way of losing him and his message of Islam, until one day when the Rasul was walking by the way, he didn't see the usual thing on the way. So he went in to check up on her and discovered she was sick. And when she saw his extension of kind gesture, despite her own attempt to harm him or something, she accepted Islam based on that. I haven't checked the veracity of the story, so I don't tell it very often. But it's a story that reverberates the importance of not paying evil with evil. In fact, what the Quran says is, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. But when you try to deal with people who seem to be an enemy to you, your own response to the person should be that he feels as if you are his friend, in the sense that you extend the hand of friendship to a person who is extending enmity towards you. And this is generally how we relate with neighbors who seem to be difficult, because some people will just be unnecessarily difficult and even wicked sometimes towards you. Pay them back with good. You don't pay them back on the account. If you deal with people based on how you are and not how they are, people only give what they have. If they are being bad towards you, that's because that's what they have. So you give the goodness that you have towards them. Perhaps that would make them have a change of heart, or at least in the worst case scenario, there will be two bad people. There will be one bad person and one good person.
Struggling good person. Right, alhamdulillah. I want us to take a quick journey back to, I talked about children, raising children and making them understand the importance of good neighborliness. Fortunately, you are a father of daughters, raising girls in this generation with the kind of neighbors that we have. How can practical steps really on, you know, what kind of boundaries do you draw? Where is the balance? Where do you strike the balance between relating positively with your neighbors and yet restricting yourself within the limits, or confine yourself to the limits that Islam has enjoined upon us as women, men, whatever, just children in particular? How do we raise them to understand good neighbors? How do they identify good neighbors and relate with such neighbors alike?
You know, you've been persistently putting me on the spot while I'm trying to do my way out of it. But yes, I get that.
You just asked me a question, but
I am struggling to balance with. Because, you see, the ideals we usually discuss and the realities on the ground can be so different, and you are left with struggling to balance the ideals and make it match with the reality. It's really a struggle bringing up children, well, daughters, into this world where every second your heart is beating because of stories you read and things you hear, and you want to ensure that they are safe. I mean, also you want to be, build the culture of neighborliness in them. So striking the balance, it's not as easy as it sounds. And for me, in my current community, really it's something I wish that my children would have the kind of childhood I had. A very open childhood where you go out, you play in the sand, your parents are able to bat an eyelid as to where you are, then you come back home in the evening, and everybody's happy and comfortable with it. But now, if you don't see your child in 5 minutes, you begin to panic and you start looking for them. Mm. And it's a general thing, and you don't blame anybody. You can't be as careless in parenting as we used to be. Times have changed. Mm. So you also have to balance that with the reality. So first and foremost is picking out the neighbors you want your kids to interact with. It's not like before where you just leave your kids out
to wander around.
You have to find out the neighbors you're going to let your kids to interact with. What kind of people are they? What kind of behaviors will they instill in your children before you feel free? So the first step is you yourself interacting with that particular neighbor.
Absolutely.
Get to know them. And before you feel free to allow maybe your kids to pay them a visit or stay there and things like that. Second option is to use the masjid. At least take your kids to the masjid. At least that will be a place where they will be able to interact with other kids. That's the mosque, for those who don't understand what I mean by masjid. So go with your kids to the mosque. You get to meet other kids and then they interact. But for me, one more thing I do is I periodically visit my parents with my daughters, and I leave her there maybe for 2 or 3 days, spend some time, and then at least their own lifestyle is still way more communal than where I live at the moment. So that gives them a little bit of the taste of it. But sadly, till this very day, I've not been able to build sand castles with my daughter as much as I wish, because I haven't found the right place to do that. Yeah.
Is there a park in your community where you live now?
Is there what?
Is there a park? Is there a kiddies park, a play zone?
Oh, yeah, not within the community, but you'd have to drive some distance to find one. Yeah, so,
Fair enough. We just took the bulls by the horn recently in my estate and created a sand pit for the kids because we didn't have anything. We built the gates. The day we put the sand there, we are yet to commission it, but 2 weeks on and the kids have taken over. They just knew that this is for us and they went for it, alhamdulillah. So just as we wrap up, a bit more challenge. Let's give a bit more challenge to the masjids and the Islamic communities. What role should they be playing in promoting the ethics in, you know, of this good neighborhood that we're talking about? And that's how we'll wrap it up, inshallah. Just before you answer, we have a call. Sorry to interrupt you. We have a caller. Assalamu alaikum. Good morning. Okay, the network isn't cooperating. Please go ahead. So, masjids, Islamic organizations, what roles do they play?
You know, one thing that Muslims have gotten wrong with respect to the masjid is that we see it as a place where you go and observe your 5 minute prayers and then you leave. But the masjid used to be way more than that. It was more of the Islamic headquarters those days. So the functions of the masjid is more than just salah. The mosque of the Rasul had a section where they observe janaiz, that is, you pray for the dead. It had a section, not inside the mosque itself, but an area where people came and wrestled. They wrestled
sports
themselves, and then people gather to watch the activities. So it's like a place where you can organize a lot of things. I always advocate that our mosques need to do more than just conducting prayers and Friday Juma service. One, you should have a guidance and counseling session section for intending couples and also couples, and also a peace and conflict resolution section where people can come with their marital problems and then you advise them. You can also have a weekly event where children can come and sit down and then you play something to them. You have a big screen where they watch the history of Islam or things like that. And also you have them, just the picnic I mentioned before, you can have it somewhere around the masjid. So the mosque can be more than just a place where you go to observe prayers. It can be used as a pivotal point to bring people together, and then you get to know each other, and then you feel you can reach out to anybody if you're in need. And then Islamic organizations too can do the same. It's all about bringing people together. We need more of this. We need more of a community whereby you know who you can reach out to. You create social capital, you create friends, you create connections, and it's very important in today's world to have the right connections. So if you can have periodic meetings where you discuss challenges facing the community and you meet each other, and then you know, oh, he's a lecturer, oh, he's a doctor, oh, he's an engineer. Okay, if I have a related problem, I know who to contact. These are ways by which we can build but beyond this, it starts with ourselves. You have to reform yourself to be a good neighbor. Not just expect that you'll find a good neighbor. Are you a good neighbor?
Big question. Very big question that we all need to answer. And I like the fact that you said earlier, you can't give what you don't have. So you wanting something, you have to project it as well. And that's when you'll get it back. Jazakumullah khairan for this journey, taking us into your space, allowing me to intrude. Thank you for not throwing punches at me. Jazakumullah khairan for allowing me to put you on the spot a few times. And may Allah accept it from you as a father. Forgive us our shortcomings, excuse whatever errors that we've made in this broadcast, and hopefully those that have listened to us, they will imbibe the lessons that we've shared and even implement it better than you've passed it on, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair, and warm regards to your family, and hopefully Allah will provide for you even a small sand pit, just maybe 6-7 blocks in one corner in your house. Pour the white sand, and you guys should build that castle. Is it a to-do list?
Thank you very much.
All right then. So sorry to our callers, your calls couldn't come through. I think network didn't favor us. However, it's been a pleasure working with you. A big shout out to the engine room, those behind pushing all the buttons that made this a smooth sail broadcast for us. Thank you so much to everyone, and thank you for joining us. We'll be back same time next week with another beautiful package of Everyday Muslim. I leave you here with Maher Zain, One Big Family. At the end of the day, in spite of everything, we're just one big family. And let's dwell less on the negativities around us. Let's dwell less on our differences, honing on our common our similarities and our commonalities, and we'll
sleep and dream. sad sometimes, we're happy. You breathe, I breathe. We love, walk, talk, and we smile. Have you thought about why we look the same? Why we feel the same? Don't tell me it's by chance. Oh, you're my brother, you're my sister. We're one big family. Just one big family, family. About you, and I wish I could realize there's no difference between us two. We're part of one family, no matter how far you are, and even if we don't know each other, you and me. We're one big family. Oh, you're my brother, you're my sister, just one big family. Oh, you're my brother, you're my sister.
Assalamu alaikum everyone, this is Brother Mahazain. For my latest news and updates, join me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. Salam.
You and me fight each other. Don't you see the similarities between us? Take a minute and see yourself in the mirror. You look like me, those eyes, lips, you can't deny. Soul and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh, love, you did divine my soul and shone a light into my heart. So please, you, it's now my only goal. I love you so, I love you so, I love you so. Now I know how it's like to have precious love in my life. Now I know how it feels to finally be at peace inside.
Good life, good life. Allah, I wanna thank you for the good life.
this world, and there's nobody to count your tears. Just remember, no matter where you are, Allah knows. Allah knows. When you're carrying a monster load, and you wonder how far you can go, with every step on that road that you take, Allah knows. Allah knows. No matter what inside your land, there's one thing of which there's no doubt, Allah knows. Allah knows. Special someone, feel your whole life has barely begun. You can walk on the moon, shout it to everyone. Allah knows. Allah knows. When you gaze with love in your eyes, catch a glimpse of paradise, and you see your child take the first breath. Allah knows. Allah knows. No matter what inside or out, there's one thing of which there's no doubt. Allah knows. Allah knows. And whatever lies in the heavens or the earth, every star in this whole universe, Allah knows. Allah knows. When you lose someone close to your heart,